My first guest has written a moderately little book. It's called The Pomegranate Journal. It fits nicely into my hand. It's got a lovely cover. The Art of Getting Older, One Day at a Time. Juliet Batten is an author. She's also a psychotherapist. And she joins me now, I think, from west of Tamaki Makaurau. Am I right there, Juliet?
I'm right here in the middle of Tamaki Makaurau.
Ah, not near Tehenga. For some reason, I thought you lived out west.
Well, I've had a batch out there, but I live in the city.
Can I ask you, if you can remember when you were in your 20s, did you imagine yourself in your 70s?
It was unimaginable, Brian. I often, not in my 20s, but a little bit later on, I used to wonder what would it be like when I'm old? What will I look like? And will I be happy? And will I be well? And I couldn't fathom it at all.
Did you fear getting older?
I think it felt, in my 20s, it felt so distant. I didn't think it would ever happen to me. I was caught in that state of the young. We think you're going to be young forever, and old people are a different breed.
Yes, that's true. It doesn't exist, and to some extent, they almost didn't exist. I kind of remember similar feelings in my 20s. But I remember at some point starting to think, I'm getting older, and I remember thinking sometimes I want to slow that aging process down. I want to fight against the aging. Did you have a period of that?
I don't think I resisted it, but I think I felt a little nervous when I started noticing that my body was changing, and not quite knowing what getting older was going to be like. And it seemed to me that old people lived in a foreign country, and it was a country I'd never visited. I knew nothing about, and. But I think I was also very curious, and that's why I wanted to write the book, because I was totally curious about what lay ahead.
Why did you want to focus on aging one day at a time?
Because that's how it is. And I wanted to bring the focus right into the present moment, because it seems to me that the best way to deal with this thing called aging is to be very present to it. Not to be living in the past, not to be in the future, which could be full of worry, what's going to happen to me, but each day at a time. And by writing a journal, I didn't keep it every day, but I was taken into that present moment, and that's where all the discoveries are, and that's really where the life lies.
The book takes the form of a journal, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, but not a daily journal.
No, I noticed that.
Yes, I thought a daily journal would be too much pressure, and at this stage of my life, one of the decisions I made was to live without pressure, all the pressure I'd had in my life to do this and that and the other thing, and to slow down. And so it's a journal in which I write when there's something to write about.
What did you notice? Or maybe what were some of the experiences you had where you thought, oh, that's something which I didn't experience before, and it's because I'm getting older?
Dealing with pain would be one of those, and having an accident and finding that my body just didn't spring back the way it used to and would take a long time to recover, and that pain wouldn't go away quickly. And that was quite a big challenge to deal with. And another thing was the attitude of other people towards me. And I write a little bit in the journal about being patronised as one of the hazards of being an older woman and being short and slight and build. And people can look down on you very easily in their mental attitude and also physically. And I really wasn't prepared for this, the way some people would treat me as if I was a little child. It was very shocking.
A little child, but you're in your 70s, and you're a very learned person in your 70s too.
Yes, well, I had a physiotherapist, but every time I got the exercise right, she would say, "Good girl."
I know I'm laughing now, but I can imagine how peeved you might be about that kind of palaver.
Yes, totally peeved, Brian. And using baby language with me, as if I was a little child.
How do you respond to that?
Well, it's very tricky, because if you're going to someone to be helped who's in the helping professions and they're about to start a treatment, you don't want to get their back up. And so I would find a way of making a brief comment. Please don't call me dear. Or when you say good girl, I feel as if I'm about 3 years old. Would you mind not doing it? Sometimes it can be done in a reasonable way without getting really furious. But at other times, it's a matter of holding on to it until the treatment's over and then saying something.
But maybe the thing about if you're being patronised by somebody who's supposed to be making you feel better, that's going to get in the way of the efficacy of the treatment, possibly. Because you're going to be so peeved, you're not going to feel any better. In fact, it might slow down your recovery.
Yes, that's very true, Brian, and I have left some practitioners because of that.
The thing is, though, is that those are really up close and personal examples of that kind of attitude where people begin to, maybe because you get older, you get ignored, people are no longer as interested in you because old people aren't so interesting or important or don't open the same number of doors for them, that you find yourself being a bit more invisible than you used to be?
Yes, I think so. But on the other hand, I have other ways of being visible, so I can counteract that. And writing books is a very good way of being visible.
The reason I'm asking that is I'm thinking about, well, then you noticed that, you felt at times peeved by that. You can't stop all the people who do this. You can't wipe out all the attitudes of some people about ageism, their ageism. So within yourself, as you grow older and have to come to terms with this, how did you come to terms with that?
Fortunately, I have so many people in my life who see me as I am and respond to me as I am. And it's really strangers who can behave like that. And sometimes I just played a little experiment at the eye surgeon when I came out, and the nurse, I didn't quite understand the quotation they'd given me. It was very complex and it didn't make sense. And the nurse just behaved as if I was slightly gaga and wasn't getting it. So what I did on the next visit, I pointed out to them that they were calling me Mrs., even though I hadn't put that on my admittance form. So I just said to her, I'm a doctor. And as soon as I used the word doctor, the behaviour changed completely.
Do you recommend that everyone says I'm a doctor, regardless of whether they are or not?
Well, I am doctor. That's,
yes,
it's true.
I know, so you can do that. I'm thinking whether other people doctor. Should just try that anyway and see what response they get.
Well, I don't know. But it's something I don't use a lot, I haven't used in my life, don't call myself Dr. Batten, but I'm going to start doing it because the way people behave, especially in the health system, is radically different. In fact, it's almost a fawning approach.
That could also be annoying, couldn't it, Juliet?
Yes, it does. Yes, it's not ideal. I like to be met for who I am. And if I'm meeting a stranger for the first time who's going to be helping me, I like us to build a relationship.
Do you think that the attitudes towards people who are ageing differ depending on whether they're male or female?
Unfortunately, yes. I find that the people who are most patronising, and I hate to say it, but they are women who patronise other women. I don't get patronised by men in the medical profession, for example, but I think this says something about the kind of nursing training that women had back a couple of decades back, and it probably wasn't such a good training as they get now, which builds more awareness.
Do you think it almost makes me wonder whether also for women, aging is, because I think, and I don't know yet, but I'm guessing that maybe for us blokes, it's a little bit easier to get older than it is for women. And I know that's a massive generalization, but, you know, I know for a start, I think grey hair is more acceptable when it's on the male head than it is on a female head. There's less pressure on us these days to get rid of that grey hair. You see more and more male role models around, and they've got their salt and pepper action going on. I don't know if it's the same for women, though, as much.
Well, men already have a lot of status that women don't have. And so when men get older, it's as if their status increases in a strange way, whereas the status of women tends to go down.
And it seems that it's other women that sometimes subconsciously see that more than other men, Juliet?
Well, as women, we're trained to put ourselves down. You know, this is women of my age. We were trained into this from a very early age to think of ourselves as inferior. Then feminism came along and liberated us from that. But the people who are my age or a little bit older are in a kind of transitional phase. If feminism didn't really change things radically for them, or they were, say, my elder sister who's 6 years older, she came up pre-feminist years, and there's a different attitude.
You mentioned earlier, Juliet, pain, physical pain, and how you've handled that, and how you've, I guess, well, have you attempted to find, either endure that or find something positive about that, or found a way of accepting that as part of your lived experience?
Yes, pain is very challenging because it threatens to take over your mind as well as your body. And what I've found is when I wrote my previous book called Spirited Aging, I developed a model which was about, I called it the star model, with two triangles. One, a triangle that points down, and that's about everything that diminishes in us, but counterbalancing it with the triangle that points upwards. And that's about all the capacities that grow stronger as we age. And drawing on those capacities when we're in pain, something that's very diminishing, is crucial. And I found that I had to draw on a lot of positive thinking when I was in pain to really make the most of the little moments of reprieve, to find something in every day to feel grateful for, to find something that would lift my spirits, to use inspiring music, for example, reach out to friends and trust the power of friendship. There's so many resources that we have when we get older. And so the pain doesn't have to be everything. It's about reaching out and finding other things to balance that pain with and feel like a whole person still.
You're listening to Nights in RNZ National. I'm speaking to Juliet Batten, author, psychotherapist, the author of the Pomegranate Journal, The Art of Getting Older One Day at a Time. What are some of the things that you are better at doing now that you've got older?
I'm much, much better at listening to my body. And when you have a body that, as I say, doesn't bounce back from injury, and I've had accidents, I've learned to be very, very mindful. I've also learned to slow down and enjoy the present moment, to lead a quieter life, to find a different rhythm, and to harvest the richness of a long life. It's an absolutely wonderful thing to be able to feel that basket full of goodness that has been harvested over a lifetime, and to enjoy the richness of that, and to be with the young, to be able to pass on a legacy to the young. There's so much to celebrate about being old.
Do you sometimes wish that you'd had some of that wisdom when you were younger?
Well, it's a contradiction, Brian, because wisdom is an older quality. Wisdom matures slowly. When we're younger, we want to gather knowledge. And there's an old Chinese saying, which is about on the way to knowledge, many things are accumulated. And we have these years when we just accumulate more and more knowledge. And then along the way to wisdom, many things are discarded. So wisdom comes from dealing with what you're letting go of, letting go of being attractive and beautiful in a young way, letting go of friends who have died, letting go of having parents in your life. There's so much loss, but it opens up space. And in that space, that's where wisdom comes in.
I've got a text here from Carmen in Dunedin. A man recently said to me, "Oh, women do the menopause, then they are stuffed. Well, I'm having the best sex of my life. It's about time that older people like sex too. It's about time society grew up. I'm 60.
Well, she's living defiantly. And that's another way to grow older, is to be defiant.
Is there defiance in your approach to getting old, Juliet, do you think, an aspect of that?
Yes, I won't be defeated by pain if I can help it. I won't be defeated by society's attitudes. I feel very defiant. I'm going to keep getting older. I'm going to keep contributing as best I can. I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to keep being aware. I'm going to keep writing.
I'm interested in your thoughts on this, Juliet, and that is, as I age, I think about things that I want to do to stay healthy and reasonably fit, and that's partly because I want to keep... I'm not entirely sure why. I think that it's because I want to keep on living the life I am now, and I want to live a bit longer because there are things I want to do. But as I get older, I suspect that there are... Physically, I will find I can't do things so much. And I think about a balance of how much time and effort do I put into maintaining the body as it is, and how much do I need to just accept that the body is getting older and some things I won't be doing anymore.
Well, I remember I had to stop going to the gym because I would injure myself, and certain extreme yoga, I would injure myself. But I still do yoga and I still do exercise, but it's about modifying it. So it's not about giving up. It's about finding, as I say, finding the new rhythm, as I said before, but also finding the new way. And I think looking after the body, you know, with exercise and diet and so on, is really, really important. And so it's about growing older and looking and having your body perform in the best possible way for the age that it is, and not expecting it to behave like a younger body. Because I find that trying to live a younger life in an older body just sets up a lot of tension and can lead to trouble.
Does that mean you have to lower your expectations as to what you are going to be able to do in what is left of your life?
Oh, yes. Physically, yes. Mentally, no.
You mentioned at one point you've got older siblings. I think your older sister is now dealing with memory loss. Do you worry about that yourself, that happening to you too?
Yes, it would be the worst thing. And I take a lot of care of my brain. And I'm very encouraged because I found that getting hearing aids the moment I had slight hearing loss was a great way of looking after the memory, because you're getting a full spectrum of sound into the brain. and I've just had cataract surgery, and evidently that reduces your chance of Alzheimer's by 30% because you're getting a full spectrum of light into the eyes. And with diet, I look after my diet very carefully to look after my brain, and that means having no sugar and not a lot of grains. And I have a lot of exercise. I walk every day. And so brain care, my brain is actually brighter now than it was a few years ago.
If your brain did, if your memory did begin to fade, have you thought about how you would handle that?
Well, it did fade. In the writing of the journal, I started to get short-term memory loss. I couldn't remember if I cleaned my teeth a little while ago. And I started to become very aware, what is this about? And I discovered that if I was stressed, if I was trying to do too much, it affected my memory. And when I was well, and when I was, removing the pressure from my life and leading a more spacious life, leading a calmer life, my memory would spring back. And so I developed a kind of biofeedback relationship with memory loss, which seems to have had a good result.
Juliet, it's been lovely talking with you. Thanks so much for your time this evening.
Thank you, Brian. Great to talk to you too.
That's Juliet Batten, the author of The Pomegranate Journal, The Art of Getting Older, One Day at a Time.